Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT. Welcome to All About Android, episode 58, recorded on Monday, April 30th, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Nicole Lee.
And I'm Aaron Newcomb.
Thank you so much for not abandoning me this week, because as you'll see, there are two people missing. First, it was only going to be one. And then this morning, Ron said, I have a meeting in somewhere. I don't know if I'm allowed to say where. And
far from here,
very far, like an hour and a half away. Yeah. So I don't know if I'll make it in time. I might have to Skype for the show. And so, Nicole, you came in at the last minute and said, sure. And now Ron owes you In-N-Out Burger, which is a fantastic In-N-Out. It was a fantastic
it's
burger
not too
place.
Far from here, so it's really easy for him to do.
California. Yeah, I actually posted on G+ a photo as I went this weekend. And I'm testing the camera of the next phone that I'm reviewing. Hint, hint, can't talk about it yet. And so I wanted to see if people were
nice
salivating
tease.
Over
nice
that
tease,
photo of burgers, and they were. Yeah. I didn't say what phone that was, or I didn't even mention a phone. I just kind of mentioned in comments at the very end, like, oh, by the way, I'm testing a phone.
Mm-hmm. And it's got a better camera than the Galaxy Nexus.
Oh, yeah. It sure does. I don't know if it's going to have a better camera than the Galaxy S3,
right.
But it's pretty darn. It's one of the best cameras I've ever used.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see about the S3.
I'm not allowed to talk about that till Tuesday, tomorrow, which is after this show. But then I will talk about it on next week's show.
Yes.
So thank you, Aaron and Nicole, for showing up and keeping me company on this lovely hour and 20 minutes of Android talk. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Thank you. And, you know, we do have a lot more to talk about with the Google, Oracle drama in the courts. So we're going to kind of do a little digging into stuff that we're interested in and not necessarily just talk about all the drama. Plus, I'm going to review the Transformer Pad TF300.
Yay.
This beautiful royal blue beauty that I have in my hand.
Very
if you're
exciting.
Watching the video. So I'm super excited to talk about that. And there's a bunch more. And we have a really good arena, I think, this week.
Yeah.
And we're going to duke it out. But let's first drop into our news. Oracle versus Google. So the first part of the trial has now come to a close. And there are several summations on both sides of Google and Oracle sides. Oracle says that Google is making tons of excuses and that they did take the property of Sun Microsystems, which is now Oracle, and using it on Android. And they claim if you look at the emails, you'll see that the Google execs knew about this and they knew that this day would come. They knew it. It's like, geez, what is this prophecy? This is a prophet. The day will come. And they just say, look at the emails. They knew, and it's all been uncovered, and we're right, and they're wrong. Now, Google, a few things have come up on Google's end. One, late last week that there was possibly a technicality.
Right.
That the copyrights were filled wrong. And, you know, of course, Oracle's like, nah, we have the paperwork. Don't worry. So they're trying to kind of throw this out of court in that way. Now, Google, on the other hand, their bullet point, their position is that Sun gave the Java language to the public. Google built Android using free and open technologies. Google made fair use of the Java language APIs in Android. And that Sun publicly approved Android's use of Java.
Right.
So that's their summation on their side. And deliberation will begin starting today for just an hour. There is a 7-panel jury, and it'll pick up again on Tuesday. They think it's going to wrap up this week, and then they're going to move on to the second part of the case, which is about patents. Ugh, can't wait for that.
All right, so this part was just about the APIs, this first part.
This first part was just about the APIs. And, you know, there's been a lot of drama. There's been a lot of talk. You know, he said, she said, you know, there's the Java creator, James Gosling, recently came out and said Google totally slimed Sun. I mean, there's just been a lot of, you know, sort of vicious talk back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, what's really interesting is some of the stuff that came up in court, some of the documents that came up, including what the original Google phone was possibly going to look like in 2006. And it kind of looks, had a QWERTY keyboard.
Looks like a BlackBerry.
Doesn't it look like a BlackBerry?
Yeah, yeah, it does.
And that was, of course, that makes sense because at the time that was the most popular smartphone.
You know,
around.
This reminds me a lot of the HTC phone that was like the Facebook phone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it really does look
looks
like
very
the Cha-Cha,
similar.
Right?
Yeah, the Cha-Cha. That's right. Like the very white, all white finish and the curves of it, and the whole keyboard thing is very similar to that. I wonder. I wonder if.
Well, it seems like they kind of, you know, Apple came out with their phone, and then they thought, maybe we don't need a keyboard after all, and they kind of
remember that before that, you know, most phones still had a keyboard or some kind of physical input,
right.
And the whole touchscreen thing was still fairly new.
Yep.
But once Apple went touchscreen, it was like, oh well, we should do it too. But,
yeah, because the G1 had a slide out keyboard.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was actually great. It was actually a very nice keyboard. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, other manufacturers. Yeah, you're right. I think from Apple's popularity and stuff, other manufacturers, when they were designing phones, decided not to go with a physical keyboard. And then, of course, now you can find a mixture of everything.
That's the awesome thing about Android, right? You can have the keyboard or you can't, or you don't have to go with the keyboard if you don't want to. Yeah.
And then there was also, supposedly, there was talk about subsidizing and having a $9.99 unlimited plan for Android phones.
If only.
I mean, we just talk about week after week about how crazy the pricing is. I think it's a breath of fresh air to hear about a company like Ting, who's been a sponsor of this show in the past, and their sort of a la carte data pricing. I mean, I would have... How many people would have flocked for that? I think... No question.
And that's really, I mean, back in the day, that was really T-Mobile especially was really big about, you know, all you can eat data plans. And so, you know, it seemed like a trend that the industry was getting, you know, kind of jumping onto, trying to get people into these smartphones. And then, of course, you know, they saw it as a revenue plan. So they put the kibosh on it really quickly. The carriers did.
Well, it's hilarious because according to this article, Google figured that its own services, Gmail, Search, and so on, will consume about 15 megabytes a month, a figure likely estimated to be far lower in 2006 than it is today. And
right.
I would say yeah. So. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Isn't it funny? We say back in the day. This is 2006.
Yeah.
It really wasn't long ago, but I just feel like so much has changed then
15 megabytes
and now?
Is nothing.
Six years?
That's nothing.
Wow.
Yep.
I've been tracking my usage and just like alone the last week. I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot more than that.
No,
I know
it's definitely more than that.
Last time I checked, I finally had to bump up my, because on the Galaxy Nexus, it defaults to a certain, I think it's 2 gig.
Yeah.
That's pretty common.
But, you know, my phone's on a business plan and we get unlimited data. So it's one of the nice things.
That's good.
But yeah, I had it set for 2 gig and like within a week, I was hitting that 2 gig limit. And I'm like, man. What do people do when they don't have an unlimited data plan?
It's horrible. It's true, especially if you have those apps like those streaming audio apps. Like they eat a lot of data.
Yeah, or if you download movies, like
download
I downloaded a couple movies
or
for a plane ride.
You upload a lot of photos to Instagram,
automatically upload to Google Plus.
Yeah,
all that stuff takes up a lot of data that you don't realize.
That's actually why I keep championing putting. You know, music on my phone, still having music on my phone because
versus streaming
my music in the cloud because, I mean, I have unlimited, although I've been warned so many times that I might be th- throttled. But that's...
Well, I mean, that's fair to know. Like, even with, like, T-Mobile, it's unlimited, but they throttle you after, like...
Yeah, Ron got throttled recently. I mean, I think really the only true unlimited plans are coming from Sprint.
At this point. And they've even said that, I think, well, the rumors are that they're going to cut those, so eventually.
Of course, because they have to, right?
Yeah. Right,
to compete and, you know, to stay afloat.
Well, it's all about the average revenue per subscriber, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And if they can get more... money by locking down the amount of data that you're able to use.
Well, you know, maybe Google has enough money to do that, to subsidize.
I don't know. If they have to pay this out to Oracle, who knows what's going to happen.
That's right.
So I think that's really sort of the update right now. We're waiting to hear more. Again, there's a bunch of he said, she said. Who do you believe? Like I said last week, I don't know what I would make of this if I was on the jury. I mean, at least I am actually interested in this, but if none of them are really caring or if they don't know technical terms, how difficult is it going to be for them to break this down? Because there's a lot of terminology.
A lot of terminology. And one of the other interesting things that I think, I can't comment on it because I work for Oracle, but what I can say is that, you know, like Jonathan Schwartz, for example, was one of the first CEOs of a major company to blog. And of course, James Gosling has been a big blogger about everything that he's done. So I think that this is one of the first, maybe not the first, but one of the first big cases anyway, where blog posts and things that are said publicly are starting to come back into testimony in a big way. Not just emails that they go mine. Of course, they're going to mine emails. They're going to look for presentations, things like that that are stored on a company's internal servers. But you know, they don't even have to go that far. They can just look at historical records of Sun.com, for example, and find all sorts of information just from public blog postings. So I think it's really interesting. And they're certainly using that as part of the testimony and part of the evidence.
Yeah.
Really interesting stuff.
Well, looking forward to see what happens next. It's definitely not over, and we'll probably be talking about a lot of this some more next week. But let's move on, shall we?
Let's move on. Now to a sad story. For me, anyway.
For you.
This is very sad. So Google announced this week that they were going to start selling the Galaxy Nexus, GSM version of the Galaxy Nexus.
Right.
For $399.
How much did you pay?
I paid $699, which was the sale version.
Wait, that was
the sale at the time.
From Verizon or from... No, you have the
this
unlocked.
This is from Verizon. No, this is from Verizon.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was expensive.
Oh, that's interesting to note. So, if you buy the unlocked GSM, it's $399. Assuming that's because it doesn't have LTE, I'm not really sure if that...
Right. Well, there's also the a 32 gig... This is a 32 gig phone.
That's right.
And I think this is a 16. The $399 one's a 16. But it still is like... I would have gone for the GSM version with 16.
Absolutely.
If I had the choice. But back then, the GSM version, the unlocked GSM version was going for... I think $650.
No, it was a lot. It was something like $650.
Newegg, I remember. And that was a deal.
Yeah,
I remember.
Like
that.
Leo bought his, he doesn't even use it, for like $700 from that UK site.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Or I forget what the
name is. Yeah, I think a friend of mine bought the GSM version for like $699 or whatever it was. But now you don't have to. $399.
And the great news here is that Google is actually starting to get back into the device business, right? So they're actually selling a device on their website. And, you know, with all the tablet rumors and things like that, this could get very interesting.
Right, because this is shop devices. Now, it's the only device there right now, but we assume that there's going
devices.
To be tablet, upcoming tablet, maybe the glasses.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Google glasses.
Hey, did you watch the Charlie Rose interview with Sebastian Turin? And
he had the
glasses on and
he took a picture.
He took the picture and then he did...
Like,
I just sent it to my G Plus.
Can you imagine, like, people on the subway?
I'm nodding my head for you in audio who aren't listening, but he tapped his glasses and then he nodded his head twice, and apparently he sent it to two different people, the photo of Charlie Rose that he took with the glasses.
Right. Can you imagine, like, on the BART or on the subway, you know, people playing, like, Angry Birds or something on their glasses, and they're sitting there, you know,
doing this, and
they'll
be like...
What are you doing? Are you okay? Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, it's still odd to see anybody talking with a Bluetooth headpiece. You know, you see them talking every once in a while.
It's still a little weird.
Once I know that they're talking on the phone with the headset, then I accept it. But at first I'm thinking, are you a crazy person? I mean, it is the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah, because you never know, right? I mean,
They could be a little crazy.
But the cool thing about this, getting back to the story we were talking about, the cool thing is that Google is actually offering support for the phone too.
Yeah.
So they're not just selling it and then, you know, get support from Samsung or from a provider, but they're actually offering support.
That
was
the big sort of kerfuffle the first time around when
with
they
the
sold
Nexus One.
The Nexus One, mm-hmm. when people would have problems with their device or during the purchase process, and they were like, who do I contact? Do I contact T-Mobile? And T-Mobile was like, no, it's not our fault. It's Google. And then they'd be like, Google, help. And Google was like, we don't have a customer service department, so sorry. So it was one of those, it was a good learning experience,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, you know what? If you're going to sell a device through our own store, we need to have a customer service help number.
Right.
And it's good that they have it.
Now, long term, you know, especially since Google has made the switch to the Google Play market, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. and they've got a devices section, I mean, what more could they put on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just gadgets. I mean, I think they're in a position now to actually turn that into, combine that with something like Google Shopping and then have
Amazon. Like going after Amazon. Ah.
Right. So obviously that's a long way off. I'm just kind of predicting way into the future. But you can see where...
That's not that far of a stretch, really.
It's not. If you combine it, I mean, anyway, I don't want to get into, predicting things too far out. But you know, you can see where this is going, not mm-hmm. just Google devices, which hopefully there'll be tablets and other things here soon.
You're thinking you're going to buy your next coffee maker.
Right.
Here.
Coffee maker, you know... Toilet paper, you know, what? I mean, I'm serious. Like, you know, they have the infrastructure.
Dog poop bags.
Yeah, sure,
that's
whatever.
That's what I buy on Amazon sometimes,
whatever you
want
to get. Yeah, they have good deals there. So, but what I'm saying is that they're setting up the infrastructure. It looks like, you know, maybe theoretically they could actually get into that market if they want to. I think they've got some other priorities, but it's a possibility.
This is really tempting, honestly, because first of all, for me, because my contract ends in a few months, mm-hmm. and I'll be looking for a new phone, maybe. I'm very happy with my phone, but of course, with the Nexus devices, they're going to get the automatic upgrade, and I know that they're going to be the first to get Jelly Bean all of that,
it's
very tempting. So, finally. Yep. Yeah. I'm glad I waited. Thanks.
Thanks for rubbing it in. I wish
Sorry,
I had waited,
Aaron.
Too. Oh, well.
All right, let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor, Netflix. Thank you, Netflix, for sponsoring this show of All About Android. Go to netflix.com/twit. Netflix streams thousands of TV episodes and movies directly to you instantly, which, of course, means that you're going to save time, money, and hassle. Now, there are tons of ways to instantly get your streaming movies and TV shows. I was just watching Bones at the gym today on the Netflix app on my phone. The phone that I can't talk about yet. You can watch Netflix movies and TV shows on your Mac or PC or iPad or Android device. You can watch on your iPhone, Xbox, PS3, Nintendo Wii. Jeez, everybody has it. I mean, a lot of these TVs now, some of the ones that we're starting to review too here for mm-hmm. before you buy, right, Nicole?
Right.
Or have it preloaded on their TV. Let's see here. And of course, the best part is when you're watching on one device, you could pick it up on the other device. It'll, you know, say resume.
Right.
It's very handy. Yes. Netflix, just awesome. I'm watching Bones, as I mentioned. First season of Bones on Netflix. What are you guys watching these days?
I'm watching Eureka.
I hadn't started that yet.
So
oh, my God. I love
we
Eureka.
We just get basic cable because it's cheaper mm-hmm. to get the internet. If you have I basically cut the cable, but I still get the basic because it saves me $5 on my bill every month. So we don't get a lot of the like Discovery and, you know, all those kinds of shows, sci-fi mm-hmm. and whatever. So, you know, they've got Eureka and I've never seen it.
Eureka's
so I just started
awesome.
Watching that, which is really cool. And they've also got a lot of, if you're into like me, if you're into like, you know, retro stuff from when you were a kid, I mean, they've got Transformers now, the original 84, I think it started 84 or something,
mm-hmm.
Series, as well as G.I. Joe is now in there. So you can go watch those.
There's Eureka right there.
Yeah, there's all kinds of cool stuff in there. So I could go on and on. I've got over 100 things in my instant queue.
I know. So. I've got so much on my instant queue, too. It's insane. I think, I've got Roswell I'm going to start watching, too. Oh, this won't close. Come on, dude. Anyways, Netflix, you could try it for 30 days free. Just go to netflix.com/twit and make sure you use that URL before you sign up for your free trial. And we'd like to thank Netflix for their support of All About Android. All right. Well, I guess it's time to move into hardware.
huge.
The Samsung Galaxy S3. That is supposedly the name. I think we know that now. That is confirmed by Samsung Galaxy S3. That is the new version, the update to my STS2, which I love. Yes. And I still love very much. That has been confirmed. And also confirmed, it has a 1.4 gigahertz Exynos 4-quad processor.
Mm-hmm.
For nice. The next smartphone, which it will be super fast, blazingly fast. Very excited.
Right.
That's all we really know. And the event is Thursday in London. I'm not quite sure what time. So we'll know Wednesday evening. Mm-hmm. Don't think we're covering it, but of course we're going to be talking about it in all the various shows. So
if anyone wants to pose as me, I have an invitation.
Oh, you're willing to give out your
sure.
Your
I mean, I'm not going to be there.
I guess I have one too. I'm not going. We were kidding last time.
Yeah,
I was like, we're going. We're going, right, Nicole? We're going to London. We got the invite. Thanks, Samsung, for the invite, but I guess we can't go. All right. So in other Samsung news, apparently, congratulations to Samsung on the heels of releasing the Galaxy S3, they have just bested Nokia as the world's top phone maker.
That's huge.
Which, boy, how long has Nokia been... You know, on top.
All I have to say is, it's been a long time coming. I mean, Nokia.
14 years, Chad?
Yeah.
Woo!
It's been 14 years. So.
And I don't think the Lumia 900 is going to save them or bump them up.
Not this much to
what they were
right.
back in the day. I mean, you've been covering mobile phones for a long time, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this coming? Did you know it was going to be Nokia Samsung?
Nokia has been on... kind of a downward spiral ever since you know they made their whole change from their whole sort of ambivalence about Symbian and then the whole Miibo OS thing that didn't really go, Miigo OS that didn't go anywhere, and that's let's go to Windows Phone, and they had the new Stephen Elop come over and took over everything. I mean, they were so schizo about where they wanted to go, the direction wise.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a matter of time before Samsung just lapped them, because they were, I mean, Samsung has been so consistent.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like Galaxy Nexus, Galaxy Note, you know, all these cool looking, very nice, high quality hardware that's not only popular here in the US, but popular worldwide. And Nokia, right. even though it's been pretty popular internationally, but it has mm-hmm. never really gotten a foothold in the US the way that Samsung has. And, you know.
Did you think it was going to be Samsung to beat them eventually?
I think Samsung definitely was top contender.
Did you ever think at one point it might be HTC, it might be... Because it was kind of, you know...
Yeah.
There have been other very
The thing
successful.
With Samsung is that they make a lot of low-end phones as well. They make the flip phones, they make those little really mm-hmm. cheapo mm-hmm. free phones, and those are really popular in developing countries, right? And Nokia used to cover that niche market, that mm-hmm. sort of cheapo little candy bar Nokia phone. And now Samsung has makes a lot of those little cheapy flip phones, and you know, they have both the low end and the high end covered. I think.
I mean, it seems to me whenever we talk about smartphones, you know, we're always talking about how ahead or how the real competitors these days are Samsung and Apple. It seems mm-hmm. to me that
it seems that way.
So I'm not surprised, and congratulations to Samsung.
It's a little bit of a shame, just from my perspective, because I used to really like Nokia phones. Mm-hmm. I used to be a big fan of like the old school Nokia candy bar handsets, because you could like throw them across the room and they wouldn't break. Right. You know, they were so hardy.
I think that was my first phone, was a Nokia candy bar.
Yeah, like they were so hardy and they were really, you know, solid. And you know, they just didn't really get a foothold in the U.S. because, you know, they didn't have the contracts here. They didn't mm-hmm. have the subsidization here as they did elsewhere. And
well, I think the other thing, too, that may be driving this is that people flip phones so frequently now, like a lot more frequently than they did before. And so if you're not, like, right up there with the latest features, the latest whatever on your phones, then, it's, you know, if that person flips in a year to a new phone – then it's going to be somebody else. It's going to be Samsung or it's going to be HTC. Yeah. It's not going to be Nokia anymore unless they have something to compete with them, because people, it's a commodity, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, people will drop one and go to another one a lot quicker than they did in the past.
Yeah.
So every time a new phone comes out, you know, you go to Craigslist and you can get a great deal on all the old models. So,
All right. Now, before we leave Samsung, there has been a bit of controversy, I guess, over the week. In Australia, there was a wake-up flash mob that a bunch of people had black T-shirts and signs that said, wake up, and they were flashing in front of the Apple store. There's some video we have there, Chad, when you have a minute. Some people were assuming that it was Samsung. They're denying it. And then there was some rumors that it was RIM, and nobody really knows. I don't know what to make of this. I almost don't really care, but a lot of people are talking about it. It seems, you know, because it's sort of like on the heels before Samsung introduces the S3, but
it wouldn't be RIM. There's no way it's RIM.
So I just saw a headline. I was like, yeah. It could be RIM because of it had something to do with the video.
Well, the Samsung, I mean, they have been really targeting Apple for sure in their other ads.
All the ads.
All the ones with the people standing in line and they go up and they say, oh, look, it's a note. And everybody's ooh, what's that?
Do we think of the effectiveness of this? I just sort of wake up to what? I'm awake. You know? I mean, okay, what am I waking up to? I don't really...
Well, to me, it's definitely a concerted effort just because look at the way the signs are designed and the way, like, it's so polished. You know, and they have this like whole van.
The bus has a
random gorilla group was not gonna have the funds to like rent a whole van or bus.
Oh, right.
Really?
It's very coordinated, whatever it is. I thought it had something to do maybe with the the factories and stuff.
That's what I thought.
That's what I thought originally.
See, now that might more sense.
I kinda thought that too.
Who
Foxconn,
knows?
Right,
exactly.
About. Yeah, okay.
Because of the timing and everything, I thought that maybe it was a group. But why wouldn't they come out and say...
Why wouldn't they just say that?
Yeah.
Exactly. Why wouldn't they say, oh, we're protesting, you know...
Why do you have to be so vague?
So vague, exactly. Yeah.
You know, what is that? It doesn't... To me, if it you wasn't had a message, clear. You don't have a... Yeah.
What's the message?
It's kind of fail. The message was not clear, and I don't really know what they were after.
There should be like a website or something. Wakeup.com.
Was there not one?
I didn't
probably
see any.
Not.
Yeah, so, I don't see anything either.
Yeah, okay. So, Samsung is denying it. Moving on.
Moving on. So, the Sony Tablet S, which... I don't think we liked very much.
Ron has it, and I did put it in the story because he was going to put ICS on it or did or whatever, but he has one.
Okay, so the Sony Tablet S, that's
the one with the wedge.
Yeah, it's a few months old by now, I think. Mm-hmm. Ice Cream Sandwich is finally available for the Sony Tablet S. So good for you if you have a Sony Tablet S. And... also, Jean-Baptiste Querreau's latest Q&A on updates to Ice Cream Sandwich and how Sony's gotten updates out the door in about 5 months. That's due in no small part, he says, to the amount of code that Sony's contributed back to the Android open source project.
So it's sort of, I guess, you know, and not being a developer, 5 months turning it around is pretty fast, right? And Sony seems to always, you know, their new phones are always saying that they... will have the latest upgrade or the latest OS.
Yeah, well, that was this whole agreement that these companies agreed to.
Right.
Back when ICS was debuted, that we will all update it within
18 months.
Yeah, 18
but
months.
But 5 months is pretty quick.
5 months is pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just too bad that we don't like as many Sony devices as, say, Samsung or HTC, because they seem to always be coming out with the latest operating system faster. And, you know, as we're seeing here, Jean-Baptiste Querreau, sorry if I'm saying his last name wrong, is explaining kind of why. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just too bad that we just don't know. We don't really like their products as much, right?
Well, I mean, the Tablet S, I think, had sort of mixed reviews. And the Tablet P, I know, Jason didn't like.
Oh, Jason hated that. Yeah.
The way you
held clamshell,
it.
Yeah.
Things are definitely changing, though. I mean since the... You know, since the Sony Ericsson days, things are definitely changing with Sony. So I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. It seems like they're going in a different direction. It seems like they made a real shift from the way Sony Ericsson was doing things.
Definitely.
So there's definitely they're definitely trying some new things out. And I hope that they are able to, you know, kind of pick back up where Sony Ericsson left off, so to speak. Because I always liked Sony Ericsson
phones. Yeah, they were really great.
But, you know,
That was my second phone.
There
after
you go.
The Nokia was the Sony Ericsson candy bar phone.
Yeah,
and
I was
so excited
I had that
to have like taking pictures of my phone.
That was
like
the
was
very
so
first
excited.
Phone yeah. to have like a camera.
Yes,
and like,
I know.
This is awesome.
I was doing moblogging back in the day before Instagram came. And
yeah.
That whole moblogging went away. But I was using that phone.
Was it Text America?
Yeah, it was the Text America thing. You remember that?
A long time ago.
So anyways, kudos to Sony for that. Hopefully we'll like your hardware a little bit more in the future.
Yeah. Keep up the good work, I guess, is the way we should put it.
Yeah.
In other news, there's also just a brief note here about that came out this week about the Kindle. And the fact that Kindle is actually, you know, gaining ground even more than they were before. I think a lot of people thought that they would slow down, but they're actually gaining. In fact, they've overtaken everybody else in terms of the Android tablet market. So not counting Apple iPad or anything like that. But just as far as Android tablets concerned, they have, they debuted the Kindle in November 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And by December 2011, they were up to almost 30% share in that particular segment. And then now, as of February 2012, they're up to 54.4%.
That's insane.
It's really insane for any product to grow that quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost unheard of.
That's crazy.
And this only goes to February, right?
Yeah.
And it's actually, we're sitting here at the end of April. So what is it now? We can only guess. Of course, this is all based on ComScore.
Right.
So,
and
right.
also on on Twit this weekend, Lance Ulanoff mentioned that the Nook is not included in these numbers.
Mm.
And it's as if they just decided to treat the Nook as a e-reader.
Right.
But quite honestly,
it's
that
not.
Hardware
it's not.
Of the Nook is amazing. And I actually like it in many ways better than the Kindle Fire.
Yep.
And I've been able to sideload apps and things like that. So
exactly.
That's curious as well. And, you know, the Nook has been saving Barnes & Noble and has been making more on its own, well, not necessarily Nook tablet, but the Nook series, than the company itself.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I'm curious why they didn't put that in there, but I guess they're just...
It's very interesting that they show all the breakdown of the other tablet, Android tablets.
Mm-hmm.
The Galaxy Tab is sort of the second on this
mm-hmm.
list. Sort of very far down second, like 15% compared to the 54 on the Kindle.
And it really dropped, too,
really
from December
drops.
To February.
Yeah.
You see that large drop. It had 23.8% and now it's down to 15.4.
Yep.
Wow. And, I mean, everything else is just really
I really
just
hate
blips.
To harp on Sony, but poor Sony's the last one.
We were just talking about the Sony Tablet S and giving them kudos for updating their devices really quickly.
So sorry.
And like I mentioned, nobody likes their tablets, so
they're new. I mean,
they're new.
Sort of.
You're right.
I mean, they're not new because Sony Ericsson's been around for a long time, and Sony's been around for a long time. But they're kind of revamping things. You know,
yeah,
it's kind of like
yeah.
a reboot for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll take them a while to get back up to where they or up to where you would expect them to be. I guess I should say.
Yep.
Yeah, and then there's always the debate: is it truly Android? Yes. I mean, you know that this and that, but it certainly is a forked version, but it still qualifies. I know that Google doesn't necessarily want
right.
to.
Right, and someone in the chat room said that this is only the U.S. numbers because the Kindle Fire is not really open
right.
to
right.
international markets.
Oh, yeah. All right, well.
Now, I mean, you mentioned Nook, so wasn't there some news today just
right.
real briefly about Microsoft? Is that in here?
No, we didn't. I don't have that in there, but yeah, Microsoft and Barnes & Noble. And their news, yeah, go for it. If you
well,
want to talk
I
about
can't
it.
Find the article now because, of course, when you're looking for it, you can't find it.
Reuters, Microsoft buys
go.
Nook stake, Barnes & Noble shares soar. So Microsoft is jumping into the fast-growing ebooks market by investing $605 million over 5 years in Barnes & Noble's Nook e-reader and college business. So basically trying to get into that market to compete against Amazon and Apple, presumably.
Right. Mm-hmm. So TechCrunch had it at $300 million.
Oh,
so
I
that's
know.
A little bit of a... I'm not sure what the difference
I'm reading
is.
I'm reading the Reuters article right now.
Okay. Maybe I don't know which one's more current. But basically, you know, they're going to... I guess Barnes & Noble's going to make them their own, tablet running.
Oh, the initial investment is $300.
Okay, that's what it is. That's
over
it
the
is.
Next 5 years.
The ongoing investment
yes,
is more.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're going to make them a tablet and it'll run, Windows 8. Tablet version,
mm-hmm.
We assume here, and but mostly geared towards the textbook.
What was interesting consumer. To me, I'm just skimming this article really quickly, is that Microsoft is actually backing Android in this particular instance. They're backing the Android foundation of the Nook.
They're not going to put Win 8 on
they're
it?
Not, I guess not. according to this. But they may do another one in the future, but initially, anyway, they're
well. The thing that I read into this as well, whether it's true or not, is that this was a deal to keep Barnes and Noble from getting sued by them because of the claims that Microsoft has with their supposed mm-hmm. Linux patents. So this was okay. a deal that so now Barnes and Noble can continue to make Android based
right.
Nooks
there's
and not get sued by Microsoft. Right. So Microsoft's carrying this big stick
lawsuit,
around
exactly.
to all the
so there's a possibility
makers.
That future Nook models may be based on Windows, but
right.
the current ones, I mean, they're
yeah, they'll
right.
stay the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
all right, cool.
Yeah. Anyway, related news since you mentioned
it. No, that's great. No.
I had to bring it up. I'm sorry.
And we're going to go into email, and we're going to stay with the tablet mindset here. Hey, AAA crew, this is from Holly in NYC. I'm in the market for a tablet. We're always asked our opinions on tablets. She says, I really like the feedback Eileen had for the Samsung Galaxy Tab 7-inch, which I actually have here in my hands, as well as what I've heard about the new Transformer Pad TF300. We'll get to that in just a sec. I love the portability of the Samsung since it's a bit smaller, and I think it would be easy to use during my New York subway commutes. I also love the idea of the Asus with the dock option to replace my netbook, kind of like two devices in one for what I want to use it for, though I worry that on the crowded subway, it might seem kind of big. Yeah, can you imagine yourself using this on the subway, crowded subway? I'm not sure. I see other people with iPads and other smaller sized tablets all the time, so obviously it doesn't stop people, mostly looking to do email, web surfing, reading, news, magazine, books, games, and watch some videos. One concern I have the Asus is using the dock. With tablets that have docks, do all the apps pretty much work in horizontal mode? Is it ever an issue when you need to turn the tablet to do something or view something? It seems like most of the tasks I'm looking for would be covered. Email, word processing, video, reading, etc. The only one that might not be a game that's played vertically, but game chances are you wouldn't have it in the dock anyways, right? Just curious of your feedback and thoughts, and I don't mind waiting a bit in case you think whatever Google might come out with could be worth the wait. What are the current rumors on timing for that? Well, Holly, all right. So this really leads into my review of the Transformer Pad 300 that I have in my hand, and I'll move it here for you, Chad. So let me just talk a little bit about specs. First of all, this is the royal blue version of the tablet, and it's the first one that's going to be available. They will also come in red and white, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's going to come out in June. So in opening this, I'm just going to actually take it out of the dock. There we go. We'll use the dock in a little bit. The dock, we'll get to that in just a little bit. But here's the tablet itself. Oh, it's kind of smudgy. I don't have Ron here to spray that stuff on it. But 10.1-inch screen, and it is ICS. Ships with ICS,
yeah.
First of all.
Awesome.
It has a plastic rib body in the back, which some people don't like. But I actually think this is the reason why the metallic backing of the Prime had some Wi-Fi and GPS issues. I think that was somewhat related to the metallic back.
That's interesting.
And this one seems to, at least this version, the one that's come out, in all reports that I've read, the Wi-Fi and GPS issues have been solved. I don't know, again, if it's really contributed to that.
I've also heard that the plastic, you know, because of the way it's constructed, is not as prone to fingerprints and smudges.
That's right. I don't see. Oh, there were so many smudges on the Prime.
Yeah,
when I had it for the week that I have it here, it's you can't really.
And it looks
tell.
Like that's. I don't know. You can tell me what you think, but it looks like that makes it a little bit slip resistant too. The way
it
that plastic,
like it.
It's
yeah.
like a textured,
grippier
plastic, so it doesn't slip out of your hands as easily.
Yep, and you don't have that metallic smell either with your fingerprints. That's just a small little. That's just a small little nitpick. That's not a big deal for
sure.
most people. Again, 10.1-inch screen. There's a 16-gig version for $379 and a 32-gig version for $399. The Prime comes in 32 and 64. This has 1 gig of RAM, has a 1.2 gigahertz processor, NVIDIA Tegra 3 quad-core. Now, I believe the Prime is, 1.4 gigahertz? Slightly faster than this TF300. And the keyboard dock is an additional 150. There is a micro SD card slot like the Prime, and also an HDMI, micro HDMI port here as well. There is an 8-megapixel camera on the back. Now you'll notice there's no LED like the Prime has. Some people won't like that. I don't know if that's keeping costs down or not. And The other thing about this, Prime itself, what they were billing is super IPS display. This doesn't have the super IPS display, but it does have an IPS display. So some people...
Oh, that's really bright.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See, that's really bright there. But it's not the super IPS to give you all the viewing angles or to give you the most optimum outdoor viewing experience. I personally don't take my tablets... And outside. Read them outside, you know, right. And if I do, I'm in the shade.
Yep.
But I mean, if that's an issue for you, maybe you want the Prime, you know, it is a fair knock. But again, that's maybe to keep costs low.
Sure.
I have to say this device is super speedy and for the price. Wow. For the average consumer for $380 for 16 gigs or $399 for a 32, I think you'd be mighty happy with this. I don't think you need the Prime.
Right. Well, especially since you can add storage, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's the whole deal. I mean, you can go with a tablet or a phone and whichever that has less storage as long as you can add more, you know, yourself later on. So,
Well, and you know, they're all kind of leaning on the cloud and all of that as well.
Exactly.
Well, we'll talk about Google Drive in a little bit.
I know. Right. That
might be even more incentive to.
Overall, I felt like, once I knew the specs and once I played around with it, it just felt like, wow, this is the one I was waiting for. I mean, you know, if you are such a power user, maybe you and you always want the top of the line, so maybe the Prime is it. But man, this is hard to beat, this one. I think it's sort of the top of the line of Android tablets at this point in time. And again, just like Holly mentioned, we don't know about the Google tablet, how much that's going to be. There's some rumors that it is going to be ASUS. I'm really interested in that. ASUS makes, to me, decent hardware. At least my experience has always been pretty good.
Yep, mine too.
I know people have had, you know, crazy experiences and have to return theirs and whatnot. But so far, I think, you know, I'd be happy with a version of this that is Google certified, as we've tried to say.
Yeah.
Can you just call it Google certified, where I get all the updates?
All the updates, yep.
And also, ASUS itself tends to make a pretty vanilla experience with their OS.
I was about to say that there's almost imperceptible differences between
I mean, look, that's very, you know, there's nothing.
ICS,
it's not like TouchWiz ICS, where it's a little bit different. Like you'll see here, TouchWiz ICS, you can't really tell, but if you kind of dig in,
folders
are a little bit different, and you definitely have some overlays here that are very TouchWiz-y and, you know, that kind of thing. Now I'm showing the Galaxy Tab 2 7.0, but going back to the Transformer Pad TF300, I think, Holly, you know, using the dock, actually the dock with this device, I had a better experience with this than I did with the Prime. I don't know if it's just I had a kind of a bad keyboard or not, but using this, and plus the dock itself is
a battery.
Right now, it's not charged.
It charges both the
this Transformer Pad has not been charged since Thursday, and it's still going.
That's really good.
The dock is now drained, but now we're using the battery off the tablet, and typing is easy, as you can see if you're watching the video.
I've read that the travel, that like the way that your fingers travel across the keys, it's like really good.
It feels very sturdy. You got to be careful though, because it seems like, did you notice?
I was just using it before the show started, I had that same problem where I hit the touchpad by mistake,
and so it moves the cursor.
It'd be nice if there was an easy way to turn that on and off.
There's probably something in settings, I bet, that I haven't really played with though.
Yep.
But honestly, it's very decent. And then the keyboard itself, there is a USB port right on the side here.
That's for charging?
You
mean a standard USB port.
Yeah, standard USB port, okay. Yeah. Other thing, this does have a proprietary power cable, so some people don't like that. You can't use micro USB, but I guess you can't have it all. But overall, I really think that this is a really decent device, and finally affordable. You know, we've been looking at tablets that are like $800, $700. I'm like, really? You're going to compete with the iPad at that price? Now I think we're getting down to really good hardware that has the latest operating system at a decent price. And I think that's what, you know, Google and Android world needs to do.
Yeah. I would say if, let's say, we didn't know that Google was going to come up with its own tablet, this would probably
be this is the choice. One you would get. Right. Yeah.
But we don't know, right? So right. I'm kind of hesitant.
A lot of
to
people will probably
it.
Wait.
So, yeah.
And
yeah.
Spiro in the chat room did say that there is a button, a quick button to turn off the touchpad.
Oh, okay.
So he confirmed that for us. Thank you again,
chat room.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll figure that out. Yeah,
I don't know which button it is. But
I'm not very versed on the keyboard buttons. I know that there's, you know, launch the browser button, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
I just did that. And then there's, you know, various shortcuts on the keyboard.
I don't know
what
the dock button.
I don't know. Yeah, sorry, Spiro. We're slow. Oh, you just locked it.
Okay.
Well, anyways, that's the end of the review. So that is the Asus Transformer Pad 300. Look for it. Our own Jordan, who sits at the front desk as PA, he's going to be reviewing this with Leo on Before You Buy, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
I did it for us. And he had the original Transformer.
Yeah. So he really sees a difference between the
original.
He sees
a really big difference. And it'll be nice to see his review and a new face on the show.
Cool. Yeah.
So that is it. Let's move on to apps.
You introducing first. Google Drive.
Yay!
No, it's real. It's like, it's for real. It's not like some mythical creature, you know. Google has finally announced Google Drive on April 24th. It was pretty recent. And you can just go right now to drive.google.com and get started, really. And I think, is it 5 gigabytes for free?
Yes.
And then if you want more, you can pay like $249 a month for 25 gigs, $499 a month for 100 gigs, and even a terabyte if you want to pay $50 a month. So...
Yep. Those are actually pretty competitive prices with all the other, you know, Dropbox and all the other ones that are out there. So, I think that I think that they did a good job in bringing this out. It's a little weird now, like in my Gmail or whatever, when I go to launch documents and documents aren't there.
You
and
see
it's like
Drive.
Yeah, Drive is there. That's
where
a little weird.
Where is it? Yeah. Oh, it's in Drive. Yeah.
Oh, we're calling
but I understand,
it Drive.
I understand why they're doing that, but, you know. It is a little weird.
Yeah, they keep renaming things.
It's like Android Market doesn't exist anymore. It's Google Play. It's
I had that. Did you guys have that experience on your phones when, like, as soon as Drive came out, I was like, oh, I'm going to go get the app, right?
Yeah.
And I went and it said, oh, this app needs to be updated. And I was like, what
never
do you mean it needs to
app.
Be updated?
I never had
it before.
Yes,
and it
did
was
too.
Google Documents
that
was being upgraded. So it was like, that confused me for a little while.
It
I'm
did,
like, I don't know. Did I, is this like stealthware? Did they. You know,
did we always have it?
Yeah,
we didn't
right.
know.
We didn't know.
We
could we have like gone
it.
In and turned it on?
It was
that's exactly
with
what
us.
I was thinking.
That's what I was thinking too. That's funny that you said that because I remember I was kind of like looking at my phone. Oh, I got to update on my phone, my apps, and then Google Drive. I mean, I knew about that it was released, and I thought, oh, when did I ever download that app? I don't think I did. So the Android app is out, and you can. Oh, is that too bright, Chad? Let me. Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Give me a sec.
It's going to have to be in the phone settings.
One of the things that came up while this came out, of course, was you know you take a look at the list of software because you can download software to put on your PC to sync to Google Drive, and it works really well because it just appears as a drive on your PC or Mac. But they did not have support. In fact, as far
drive.
As I know, they still don't have support for Linux.
All those Google
but apparently
docs.
They are working on Linux support. So. For all of those out there that run Linux,
that's very
desktop.
Interesting that they renamed Docs into Drive. And
it is really interesting.
I actually, so it's like Dropbox. So you have an application on your computer, and then you open it up, and then you can drag and drop files to and for. I finally dragged some music into my personal G Drive, and it works exactly.
It shows up
like.
On your phone or
it
on your
shows
other
up on my phone.
On your other, it's great for me because I go back and forth between Linux and Windows all the time, and sometimes I need to share files, and it's kind of hard. You know, unless you're using Dropbox or something like that to do that. So it's a pretty good alternative. And especially if you already have, you know, if you're already used to the Google ecosystem, as it will, as far as if you're a Gmail user already and you're using Google Docs already, it makes it really simple to jump into Google Drive. So it even found some old documents that I had forgotten about. For some reason, when Google Drive, when I accepted the terms and conditions and Google Drive picked up, it found some old documents that I don't know how they got there, but I remember putting them there now, but they weren't there before. So that was kind of interesting too.
I thought what was kind of interesting for me anyway, is that it does OCR.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you
scan documents into your Google Drive, it will recognize those characters and you can just search for those words.
Right.
And I thought that was pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So this is the rooting document that I never shared with everybody, how I rooted my phone. Sorry, guys. Anyways, it's on my drive. How Eileen rooted her phone. Because I'm afraid of you guys telling me I took your direction and I bricked my phone. But the thing is, every phone is different. Every person is different. Whatever.
Right.
It does exist, the document. I really made one, but I'm afraid to share it with you guys. I did move some music on here. I don't know where my music is. I was trying to find it so that I could possibly play. I wonder if you can play it like you can on,
ooh,
on Dropbox.
That's a good question. I don't
know. You
know
what? I'll keep working on that while we move on to other things. I'll see if I can find it on my phone. Okay, moving on. Just really quickly, Apple killed Chomp for Android. So Chomp was a app discovery service, and it was kind of handy. And then Apple bought it. And lo and behold, now, I guess there's some workarounds. Marlon sent an email recently to us. Said, you could still use it, kind of, sort of, but it's probably going to go away.
Be fair.
Apple bought it,
Apple
right?
bought it. I mean, if Google bought it, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think the same would happen, though. I mean, Google seems to be about, you know, ubiquitous access to everything. And so they're like, Apple, you can run our stuff. We want you to run it.
Yeah.
Please run it. You know, we're not in a competitive situation here. We want people's eyeballs on our stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all to me why Apple would do that. It seems like if Apple has this really cool thing that they want to use, make it available to as many users as possible.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't understand it. But that's okay.
Maybe that was the terms of, you know, buying.
Maybe that was terms of buying.
The, you know, the app and the people and all of that.
It would give you $2 billion.
You know, I still use AppBrain. The heck. Yeah. There's so many other. Jason had an app several weeks ago that won the arena, and it was, you know, sort of a recommendation service for apps. So I can't remember the name. Sorry. So there's many choices out there. So, okay. Bye-bye, Chomp. See you later.
Yeah. We never knew ya.
No, we never knew ya.
All right, let's go ahead and move into another email since we're talking about it. This one is by Jen. She writes in and says, AAA crew, I've been with T-Mobile for almost 12 years now, and my contract is up in December. I'm ready to upgrade, holding out for Samsung Galaxy S3. T-Mobile has both predecessors, so she thinks it's safe to assume that they'll get the S3. My question is about buying the phone full price versus agreeing to another 2-year-long contract. She says, I've been pretty happy with T-Mobile service, even after losing my Sidekick's data back in the data loss debacle. T-Mobile seems to be the only of the big four to have 5 gig data and include mobile hotspots for $30 a month, et cetera, et cetera. She really likes T-Mobile. Do you think it's reasonable to chain myself to another 2-year contract for the discounted upfront price, or is it still better to buy the S3 at full price to be contract-free by the time December rolls around? So, I mean, I can give you my opinion on this. Absolutely go off contract. Don't tie yourself down to another contract. I got off that crazy train a couple years ago and haven't looked back. And if now it's, excuse me, it's kind of interesting when you look back and see the amount of money that you save by being off the contract. It's
so what do you pay per
cool.
month? Can you tell me?
Well, I can't tell you because...
Yeah,
I'm on a business contract, so that's another reason why it's good to be off contract, because I can flip phones basically as many times as
I want. No, I have heard from friends who have a T-Mobile, and the reason why they're with T-Mobile is because the off-contract price is that much lower per month.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think in this case, especially since it's T-Mobile,
but
it also gives you the freedom. I mean, I can sell my phone on Craigslist or whatever and go hop around. I can go to another service if I want to. So there's a lot of freedom involved because you never know what the next phone that comes out is going to be, and who's going to carry it. So if you're off contract, you know, and you want to get the next thing after the S3.
If you travel a lot,
yep.
it's already unlocked. You don't have to go through this Byzantine unlocking process.
Exactly.
It's already unlocked.
Exactly. Right. So, I think that's the answer. I think we're unanimous in this.
Well, this is interesting because, I'm pretty much with you guys, but I'm actually in Jen's boat too, because I'm like, I'm going to be off contract in July.
Mm-hmm.
So should I stay off contract? I really want an LTE device. Mm-hmm. So I just get a month-to-month plan, right? That gives me LTE, I guess.
Yep.
And then I'm off to the races.
Right.
Huh.
See.
Yeah. Of course, you have to activate your phone. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is. I mean, you have to activate your phone just like anything else, but it gives you the freedom to hop around. And
yeah.
You know, you just don't have to worry about, oh, I can't get another phone. Or, you know, the other bad thing about being on contract, I had this happen to someone I know, is that their carrier offered to give them a early renewal or whatever. Mm-hmm. They could get a new phone, but it was an early renewal, and they didn't really specify that it was early renewal. So they canceled. They thought it was, I'm up on my contract. Mm-hmm. They canceled, and then they got hit with like a $300 early termination penalty. Yes, yeah. They're like, what? You said it was time to upgrade, whatever. And they're like, no. We just meant that we'd give you an early upgrade. You're not really out of your contract. So
I will say that if you want LTE, they might not offer that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
I really want LTE.
I would check it out because I think LTE? They do. I have LTE,
but
you
have a different plan.
It's a business plan. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, look into it.
Check it out. I think you can do it, though. I think, and it may be on a carrier-by-carrier basis, but if you want, like, AT&T LTE, assuming that's what you're talking about, then, just check with AT&T. Yeah. I think you can do it, though. You don't have to have a contract.
No, you don't. I'm just saying but bear in mind it's going to be pretty expensive.
It's going to be more expensive. Month to month is going to be more expensive, but overall, it should be cheaper in the end.
Right. When you do the 2 year, when you actually add up the money after that. On that side, if you do decide to stay with T-Mobile, you might want to get the HTC One
S.
That's what you're using today, right, Nicole?
HTC One S.
Jason loves that phone. Bing, bing. I thought it was fantastic as well. Bing. Look at that. So if you love T-Mobile and you're okay with staying here,
Just go buy it.
It's pretty nice.
Go buy it.
But yeah, and Aaron's telling you just buy it whole.
Just go for it.
And then, you know, that's all.
The upfront cost is a lot, right? You pay a lot for the first phone, but then if you want to skip around, especially if you live in a a metropolitan area, you can usually sell your device for, you know, pretty good money on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're buying you don't have to pay it every time you switch phones. You just sell your old one and whatever the difference is in cost, you just figure that's the cost of, getting a new phone. But it's not like the whole sticker price every time. So at least that's the way I do it.
All right. So. Cool. Well, thank you, Jen, for that question. Now it's time for the arena.
To enter, one lives. Android Arena.
All right.
To enter.
I know. We've been trying to change it to
multiple,
three.
Multiple enter. One lives.
We made that a long time ago, and we've talked about changing that. We haven't.
It's all right.
All right. So last week, I knew it. Jason ran away. Well, I stunk it up. But Jason ran away with that awesome app. It's really awesome. After Focus. He took United States. He didn't take Canada. Canada loves their religious apps, Babel Rising, Ron's app. And he pretty much took everything. I don't know.
Australia.
Yeah, he took Australia.
India.
What is that? Libya right there.
UK.
He took all of the Scandinavian
South
countries.
America.
Japan. Man. Dang. No, that was just, I knew once he started showing that, I was like, oh, I wish I would have found that. That's an awesome app. So congrats to Jason, who isn't here to relish in his victory. And then I would have said, okay, Ron, well, you are second best, so you can go. Oh, he's not here either. I don't get to benefit. And you guys are guests, so of course you guys are going to go after me. Plus, I really stunk it up. I really do like my app from last week, but yeah, it didn't compare. I really get that. So I guess I will go first. Just FYI, so I did find that MP3 on Google Drive. And so now I downloaded it. And then what I have all my choices are, I'm just going back to, okay, I put an MP3. So what should I do? Should I just try on a double twist? Let's try on a double twist.
Let's try.
It's going to play.
Yeah, there we go.
So
it's just like any other file.
Yeah,
it downloads to your device
file.
And then you play it with whatever application you might have.
To those that don't have unlimited data accounts, this might be dangerous.
What's that? Oh, it might be. You're right.
Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my app today, I don't know if it's going to work or not. We'll see. It's probably not going to work live.
I saw it. We saw it.
I know. We saw the free show, but I have no idea.
It was working.
It's called Wave Control. And I'm going to talk about the free version because, and I'll talk a little bit about the paid version, but I'm going to suggest that you get the free version and just try it out. Essentially, what Wave Control is doing is touchless media control. I haven't actually used it with calls, but I'm using it in the car with music because that's really what I would like to use it for. Mm-hmm. So I've also tested, so basically you are able to just kind of put your hand in front of the phone, the sensor, and then it just did it right there. It started playing. And then you can pause.
I feel like there should be some kind of app that uses it like, these are not the drawers you're looking for. So sort of wave it like that.
So and I'm going to play.
That's brilliant.
So there, I put my hand over and it's playing again. And then I'll, and there we stop. I swear that's just the hand.
That's moving. Just the hand.
Yeah. And it works for any music application. At least I tried it on Amazon, RDO, Double Twist, Google Play.
Uses the lights, the proximity sensor.
Yes.
Proximity sensor.
Now, let me show you some other things here. So here, I'm going to play from Amazon, see if it works. Now, all you have to do is swipe up, and then you get the next song forward. Swipe up.
Nice.
And then pause.
It's like, it's very Star Trek-y.
Yeah, and so I use this in the car because it also works when your phone is,
it's a little bit easier black. Than to like.
It's
don't
a
have
little
to
bit easier than
it.
Like turning it on and getting the lock screen to work and whatnot.
Right.
Safer. They do advertise that you could do things like, you know, double wave and it'll do the previous track. Didn't work for me.
Oh.
And then there is the pro version, which I have as well, and that tells me one wave, two waves, three waves. Okay. Past the hover and the one wave to forward, none of those other waves worked for me. I don't know if it was my phone or my sensor. So I was trying to do the two waves to do the previous track. Never worked. I was trying to do the three waves to do a volume
up.
It's maybe just a bug with my phone. I'm not sure. I know on the website or on the Play Store, they even have like a little, hey, beta testers, we're looking for HTC phones and tablets. Now, I tried to download it on a tablet, and I couldn't do it. With the Galaxy Tab, it wasn't available. Like the pro version was showing up, but not the free version.
It could be the difference between different hardware specs. You know, some sensors, some cameras, the way that
But is that what you get with the pro version? Is more gestures?
Yeah,
is that
you're what supposed it is? To. You're supposed okay. to. So
three
see
waves.
Here, there's three. You could pick three waves. I could.
And then you can pick what it does.
Yeah, you could pick what it does, but it's not working for me.
Oh,
it should
so
be like
that's
a wicca,
when I'm
like,
wondering. You know, DJ. Maybe it's a little bug right now, or maybe just with my phone. Right. Maybe
or maybe
it
if you've got like
iPhones.
A smudge over
the sensor.
I don't know.
Like a smudge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know. In the end, it works for what I need it to in the car. Mm-hmm. I do the pausing and the wave to the next. I'm very picky with my music. I don't feel like listening to that.
Right.
You know, so now I don't have to just depend on the lock screen. Sometimes, you know, you have to do it a little bit. Sometimes it's like you have to do the wave slower. Don't do it too fast.
This was kind of like distracted driving a little bit.
Do you think it's more distractive than... What do you think? Do you think it's more distractive than actually like me picking up in my cup holder?
No, I mean, that, obviously that's worse.
Right. Right.
That's worse.
That's worse.
Just thinking,
instead
like,
of just like I'm driving and I'm like, that's what I use it for.
Wave.
So I kind of like
I
that I found
sure,
this.
I see that.
And it's a little buggy here and there, but
that's probably better than the Google Glasses while you're driving, right? Because and you got a nod and you're like, you know, going all over the road. No, I don't want that track. I want to send an email. You know. I don't know. I think that's probably more safe.
When you're running or when you're at the gym.
There's actually
just, like,
a pocket mode, and the pocket mode enables you, while you're in your pocket, to make enable controls to only work when the wave control is open. When you use wave control, you have to have it running in the background as well. It has to be running, otherwise it's not going to work.
I can kind of see it at the gym when it's there on the little console. Mm-hmm. You don't want to, like, fiddle with the controls while you're like doing your workout. You can just do this.
Yeah.
Right.
Next.
It's a lot easier.
Next.
Yeah.
Next.
Because if you're not really coordinated, then you got to stop your workout.
Yeah.
You know,
stop.
Otherwise you're like falling off the treadmill.
So essentially for what I got it to do, it was very handy for me. I want it to do more, and I'm guessing that they will do more. They'll probably tweak it for phones. It looks like they're looking for beta testers for other phones and for tablets. So the developer is Mark's Think Tank, and the app is Wave Control. I'm saying to just try the free version. There is a strip ad at the top of the free version. You know, check it out. See what you think. The video itself, video demo, they were able to do the previous track, and well, I couldn't
phone
do it.
Using
it.
I was just
they're
looking
using
for that.
My looks like, phone, yeah, actually.
Like
that's weird. That's why
that's
I was
weird.
Like, wait a minute. So
oh, they're waving
maybe
differently,
it's,
too.
Yeah, they're waving it like that. I couldn't get it
like that.
They were waving it like a little wave. Yeah, see? If you're
not
watching
not
the video.
Like that, but
I was waving it with my palm down.
Not with
right.
the
they're
palm
waving
down.
It with like their fingers,
their fingers
like
perpendicular
they're
flick, like, to the phone.
They're yeah. flicking your
so
the
maybe
hand away.
I'm waving wrong. I don't know.
You're waving wrong.
Wave it right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It seems like something that would be very personal as far as like, you know
your
what I mean?
Wave.
Yeah,
your wave might be faster than
my
mine.
Wave might be faster. My hands might be bigger. I mean, there
yeah.
could be all kinds of different things that could impact that.
And
so
that's maybe how they tested it.
Your mileage
you know?
May vary, I think, with
go.
That one. But that's really cool.
I still think it's an interesting app that I think with more work and more development could be really, really cool
yeah.
in the future. So it's, yeah, some people were, I found this through a Lifehacker article, and they were calling it Very Minority Report. I was like, oh.
Yeah, you're flicking yeah. through the screen.
Yeah, things, absolutely.
Thinking, you know?
Yeah.
So,
either that or maybe
the
you
future.
Could turn it into a theremin or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Ooh,
a music yeah. instrument. Like the further away, it's different pitch.
It's yeah, exactly.
Different pitch. Deeper pitch.
You got to get the developer to start working on that.
All right. Well, that's it. That's Wave Control, and that's my app for the week. So next is Aaron.
All right. So I've got a game this time. And it's called Drisk or D-Risk. I don't know exactly
oh.
how you call it. But if
okay.
you're a...
I was calling it Drisk. That's
what I call it too,
yeah,
Drisk.
Okay.
I don't know. But anyway, it's basically a Risk clone for your phone. So if you're like me and you like to play board games and card games and strategy games and stuff like that, and you were a big Risk fan growing up, this is the app that you want to get if you don't already have it. What's cool about this is, well, number one, let me say there is a free version, right? And then there's a paid version. It only costs $2. The difference is you get multiplayer and a lot more maps mm-hmm. with the paid version. So, and it's not that expensive. So I would definitely go ahead and get it. But it's basically Risk on your phone. And multiplayer is really cool because you can now play instead of getting out the board and setting it up if you have a couple phones or even if, you know, you want to play with someone that's not right next to you or something while you're traveling, you can go ahead and do that. So the way this works is you just go ahead and set up a game. I'll go ahead and set up a local game. And then it gives you the option up above if you swipe across the map up above, like, there we go, like that. There's all kinds of cool maps. So you can do a map of just America. You can do a map of just Europe. You get into here, there's like a Middle Earth map, and there's a Star Wars map. I mean, there's all kinds of cool
Westeros?
Maps.
Westeros? That's awesome.
Yeah, Star
no
Wars.
No way.
Westeros? Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So let's go back to that one.
About the Game of Thrones at Twit.
So we'll go with that one as
exciting.
Our test here. And then below that, you can see that there's boxes for if you want to play with computer, like how many players you want to play with. Of course, we picked a local game. If we had multiplayer, it would ask you to connect to the game that you want to, you know, the
oh,
person
yeah.
you want to play with. In this case, let's just say that, and you can also pass it. So like I can set up, if I set up another human player on this,
you can pass the phone
when
yeah.
it's their turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're ready, you just hit deploy and it sets up the game. There we go. And so you just
oh,
got
hey,
a little
it's
map.
Westeros.
Yeah, and so it
oh
just automates, you know, it automates like when the computer players go, it's all automated. It's
King's
fairly
Landing.
Intuitive to play. So right now all the computer players are going. I don't know when it's going to be my turn.
Where's but Winterfell?
Things like trading in cards and everything.
I
it's
know.
All very simple. There's the cards on the left-hand side there. Of course, everyone has zero cards
yeah.
right now. To attack, you touch, and I'll show you as soon as it gets to be my turn. You touch where... you know, the country you want to attack from, and then you touch the country you want to attack, and it does it automatically.
Team Stark and team.
Can you name your teams?
Oh, I don't know. There's a bunch of options. So probably the options in here are really good. So there's a lot of different options you can pick. If you want to customize, for example, people that are really into Risk and played with alternative
yeah. mm-hmm.
rule sets and
yeah,
things,
yeah.
they have those rule sets available in the options. So I don't know. It's a simple little game. You can see the graphics are pretty simple, but they don't need to be complicated for a game
yeah.
like Risk. And it's just a lot of fun to play. If you just want to waste time for a little bit, you can do that. Or if you want to connect with someone and play Risk. My son and I were playing by just passing the phone
oh, yeah.
back and forth, you know, and kind of watching it. And it's really, really fun. So we were doing this while we were on vacation a while back. And I don't know. Why do I have to go last? Why is that? I always have to go last. Okay, so here we go. So here's okay. Reinforce. So I've got three armies to reinforce. So all I have to do is tap where I want to reinforce. And if I tap again, it'll keep adding them to that country. Cool. And that's it. And then at the bottom, you just swipe to the next phase. So it goes on to the attack phase. So like, and then if I touch, that country's already selected because it's got nine armies. And this would be really horrible for someone actually listening instead of watching. But so you can see I just took over that country. It does the dice roll thing automatically. And so I can just keep going. I'm actually going to wipe out
Honestly, that's
player.
My favorite part of playing board game style apps yes. on a phone or yeah. a tablet is that it does the calculations for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. It takes
There's
out
no
the,
math.
It takes out the tedium.
There's no math involved.
It takes out the tedium. So then you can fortify just like you can in Risk. And then you keep swiping until you're done. And that's it. It goes yeah. really, really quick. So anyway, simple little app, but there's a lot of really great features. The fact that there's multiple maps, I really like. So,
yeah, that's awesome that there's Westeros on there. That's great.
I mean, and they've got, I think, 20 or 30 or 19 maps currently. So I was pretty close. 19 maps, and there's all kinds. There's even an XKCD map. I don't know what that's like.
Oh, that's the internet map, the map of the internet.
There's Simon Says, a bunch of Star Wars ones.
The Star Wars one is going to be awesome.
Yeah. So definitely, you know, if you're into
and
Risk.
Good old America.
Definitely. Yeah, good old America, too.
Oh, the good old our world.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. So if you're into Risk, definitely check it out. It's a lot of fun, and definitely it's well worth the $2 to get the extra maps to play with.
Yeah.
So go check it out.
Very cool, Aaron. Nicole.
Okay, so I chose this app at 1 p.m. today.
I know. And, you know, give her the disadvantage. I was like, oh, by the way, I need your... Hey, can you be on the show? Yes. So, oh, by the way, I need your app.
Now.
So this was kind of a last minute thing. You probably already have this app. It's called I'm choosing Street View on Google Maps, but the weird thing about this was that I went to the Google Play Store mm-hmm. and I went to go to Street View to download it. No, so you already have it. I'm like, huh? So it's in Google Maps.
Right.
Right. So the reason why I'm suggesting it, even though you already have it, because they just released a new version.
Right.
Earlier this month. It's Street View, the new Street View. It's Android 4.0. It's for Ice Cream Sandwich. So it uses the Ice Cream Sandwich toolbar. Let me just pull it up.
We're all going to look at our map now.
Yeah.
So the reason why I'm suggesting this is because you kind of do have to go to the Google Play Store and press update. Because I think if you don't do it, it's just going to be like the old one. And sometimes you do have to, like, you have to update it.
Okay.
So the new version, I'm just going to pull down this location here. Will it work? No. Come on. See, the live version is going to... Anyway.
It's working for me.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, I pressed it down. I pressed down my location.
That's what I tried to do as well.
Like Street View.
Oh, you can show Aaron's really quick. Can you still see his?
Switch over. There we go.
Yeah, okay.
So
you can drive if you want.
Yeah.
So here it is.
And the really cool part is
next to the Twit Studios.
You have the ice cream. You have the Android 4.0 toolbar. So it's basically primed for the new OS.
How do you move around?
But anybody can have this, right? Not just ICS people.
Oh. Well, it's zooming in.
This is really annoying. I was doing this earlier.
Of course it's not. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. So you move the guy around. Whoa.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's a new thing. So if you tap, you can zoom in. There we go. Hold on. So okay, there we go. Street view.
Oh, I almost hit that white car.
So that's probably easier. But like right here, you can just tap to go forward.
Okay.
You can go backward. You can just drag the little man. Go a little bit up the street.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, it's basically a new version. And the new version has Russian vocalization, if you're into that.
Mm.
So more languages.
So we didn't have this ability before. Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, there was Street View there, but not the updated version.
Not the updated interface.
Not this, because I've played with Street View on my phone before.
This whole thing is
new. Look at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I like dragging that little guy. That's awesome.
So you drag them around, and it's like, okay.
You can just turn it around. You can just drag it up the thing. So it's really easy. Like if you want to like check out if you're moving to a new neighborhood, you want to check out the neighborhood.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
I've always liked how Google Maps always brought up Street View when you arrive at your destination when you're navigating.
Yeah,
like I love that. It's not always accurate. Like, you know, you might be looking at like the wrong way or something, but I do like the fact that it brings up, at least you know you're in the right place. You're very close to where you're going. So, and this way you can kind of explore. Also, you know, if anybody's house hunting, Street View is awesome for house hunting. I mean, that's what we did when we were looking for houses.
We use Street View and
Google Maps like all the time. So I'd pop in and out of Trulia and Zillow. And I wouldn't use them because they weren't as good, but I would definitely go to Google Maps and use Street View.
I use this when looking for hotels to stay.
Because you want to know like, what's around it.
Right.
Is it near like some ghetto place?
Yeah, is it in a nice neighborhood? Or what does it look like? Yeah. Absolutely. Cool.
Super cool. Yep. Well, thank you, Nicole. All right. Well, that is our arena. Wave Control, Drisk, and Street View on Google Maps. And, of course, you want to know where that poll is. It is bit.ly/pollAAA58. And there you go. Vote away.
Vote for Drisk.
Vote for whatever you want to vote.
I think you got a good one this time, though, really. That wave thing is pretty cool.
You know, people love games. The wave is awesome. People love games, though, you know. So, and that was a really good one, especially a geeky game. So there you go. And, you know, it's so funny. Wave Control just had an update as I was just doing the, there's voice control or two.
Ooh.
So.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Apparently now, well, I'm not going to be able to show you if it really works. Added launch voice search for Pro. Added calibrate on the first run. Updated the UI. Of course you guys did that right before the show.
Yeah, well, Drisk is doing that too. They're giving away $10 to everyone that downloads Drisk. No, they're not doing it. I can make mine sound good too. Free money. Free money if you download Drisk and vote for it on the poll.
Free money.
Oh, dear. So again, the poll, bit.ly/pollAAA58. And that does it for this week's All About Android.
Yay.
Aaron Newcomb, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yay. Absolutely. Anytime.
Please plug away what you'd like to plug.
You can go to, well, first of all, I should say, since I'm on Twit, that you should definitely check out Floss Weekly if you are interested in open source software at all, which is where I co-host occasionally with Randall Schwartz. So definitely check that out on the Twit Network. And also you can go to thesourceshow.org, or the best place to get in touch with me or follow what I'm thinking, talking, doing is on Google Plus. Go to Google Plus and add me to your circles. That's the best thing to do, because then you'll see all kinds of stuff, which is where I actually, that's probably where I do the most talking about Android is on Google Plus these days. So if you're interested in Android and you want to hear what my thoughts are on it or what I think is cool, go to Google Plus, add me to your circles, and you'll see all the kind of cool stuff I'm doing. So
awesome. Yeah. And you'll be back in a couple weeks.
I'll be back in a couple weeks. So keep the chair warm for me.
All right, we will. And Nicole, thank you so much for a last-minute replacement. You get the In-N-Out Burger from Ron either next week or whenever he's here. He should. Why don't you plug away? You got all good stuff.
All right, so a couple of these items will be on Before You Buy. Actually, I didn't already review the Samsung Galaxy Tab 2 for Before You Buy last week. And so this week we'll have the Asus Transformer. We'll have the review of a yet unnamed very special Android phone you have to check out this week, and definitely check it out, twit.tv/byb, for all your hardware goodness reviews.
And again, our show comes to a close. Thank you so much. That's it for this week. Voicemail, you can send us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Email and video mail at aaa@twit.tv. We're on Twitter at Android Show. And, of course, you can find our show notes at twit.tv/AAA. I believe Ron will be back next week. Jason will not. Have a great week, everybody. And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday starting around 5-ish. Pacific at live.twit.tv. So thanks again for watching. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Wave. Let's do the wave.
Oh, yeah, let's do the wave. The music goes crazy. We're skipping songs all over the place.
Where's the beer? Where's the beer? The keg droid.
And I'm going to open up the valve here so you can actually see how it does.
It's like a five-minute video. I click pour. Push to the end.
And the flow rate here indicates how much beer is flown. And it's very foamy today.
That's a geek.
Oh, wow.
It stopped at 8 ounces, and we've done. It's reset itself. So if we want to zoom in here to the application, we'll show you what the application does again when you authenticate. So I'm going to be swiping my badge over the NFC reader.
Ooh.
That's cool.
And you can see that it
I haven't seen this whole thing yet.
Once it reads the badge, it authenticated and puts the data up on the screen, and then you can select your beer. And again, if you're not sure what you want to do, if you decided you didn't want this beer or don't want a beer right now, you want to go get something out of a bottle in the refrigerator.
Select the beer.
You simply hit cancel, and it resets ready for the next guy.
Mm.
So, this is a Keg Droid, and I'd love to hear your comments about it, and I hope that you will be seeing these around the world soon. Cheers.
Hope they have that at Maker Faire next week.
I want some. I want a Keg Droid.